This is Sid Roth saying, I have a vision. Now is the set time to blow the trumpet in Zion.
Blow a trumpet in Zion, sound it on the mountain. Blow a trumpet in Zion, for the day of the Lord is come.
Shalom, Mishpucha. Shalom, family. Mishpucha is a Hebrew word. It means family. And we're the Mishpucha, the family with a Jewish heart, made up of Jewish and non-Jewish people that are one new man in Messiah Yeshua, Messiah Jesus. Getting ready, Mishpucha, to blow the grandest shofar, or the grandest trumpet in Zion. We want everyone everywhere to hear the good news. We want everyone everywhere to be red hot for the Messiah. My guest by way of telephone, I'm speaking to him, is home in Franklin, Tennessee, is Jim Gall. Jim is part of a very strategic team, a member of the Apostolic Council of Prophetic Elders, very much involved in the call with Lou Engel. But the reason I'm interviewing him is I believe that this moment in history, the most significant thing, if you will, the dividing line between the true church and the counterfeit church, I'm going to proclaim something, and I know it is truth, that if you get mixed up in your theology on the Jew and Israel, you will go into heresy. The dividing line of the church will be over this issue. And the information for you to develop God's heart and compassion for the Jew in Israel is found in this book, Exodus Cry, which we're making available this week for $14. Now, Jim, on yesterday's broadcast, we were talking about modern-day Aliyah and how the nation of Israel was founded by a UN charter. But tell us a little bit about the history of that.
Yes, it is just, again, amazing, you know, out of the ashes, the horrific time of day of trouble from out of the Holocaust of World War II came forth a promise. Israel was born in a day, the way Isaiah, the prophet, said it. It was in November 29th in 1947 that the Jewish people around the world danced for joy, as finally the partition plan came to vote at the General Assembly of the United Nations, where two-thirds majority was needed for passage. And that day, Jewish people in Israel and all around the world kept their ears glued to the radio. And there was the deciding vote was given for the nation of Israel to be birthed, rebirthed, come into being, fulfilling ancient prophecies. But within 3 days, more than 40 million Arabs pitted themselves against, 40 million Arabs pitted themselves against only 600,000 Jews who had gradually been returning to the land, who were then already living in Israel. Look at the odds. 40 million against 600,000.
And as I understand it, it was even worse than that. The Jewish people didn't even have weapons. They didn't even have an army. It was such a David and Goliath encounter that even the world would have to recognize God showed up.
That's absolutely is the right analogy to use. It was a David and a Goliath. The battle of survival went on actually for months during this time between the UN vote and the actual authorizing of the partition of Israel, of this promised land, and the end of the British rule over this region. And it went on for months. And then finally, 1 minute past midnight on May 15th in 1948, Israel came officially, then was birthed out of pain, birthed out of pressure, birthed out of transition. The enemy, the dragon, in the book of Revelations, was there ready to devour the child. But the child is an overcomer. And this child then was born officially May 15th, 1948. While Harry S. Truman, President of the United States, officially recognized the new state of Israel and extended full diplomatic privileges to Israel.
And what I find interesting is, as you point out the history in your book, that the Arabs were so sure they were going to win that war. I mean, after all, they had 40 million Arabs against 600,000 Jewish people who didn't even have armament. And what they had was so archaic, it's a miracle it even worked. And they were so sure they were going to win that the Arabs living in the land given to Israel by God vacated their homes for a few days, and then they were told you can come back and get all, as throughout history, all the Jewish money that is there. So they vacated, but funny thing happened, they lost, and that's the true origin of, as you point out, of the Palestinian refugees.
Yes, that's absolutely right. And Israel right then only had a fledgling army of 6,000 people. They were being preyed literally upon. But again, you know, the God of surprise showed up on the scene. I mean, who else can you attribute this to? But the Goliath was peering in upon, but a young David with a stone in his hand.
Well, our time is slipping, Jim, and I want to deal with chapter 3, in which you quote from Zechariah 2:8, touching the apple of God's eye. But there was something that caught me in that chapter. And my friend Tom Hess, who lives in Israel, went to Auschwitz and that horrible death camp the Nazis had. And he said, sprawled on the wall is this statement: he who does not learn from the lessons of history is doomed to repeat them. Tell me about Zechariah 2:8.
Yes, I had a visionary experience where we were doing our first conference on the church in Israel, and this open vision I saw Star of David in the middle of an eye. And in the middle of the Star of David in the eye, I saw the scripture written out, Zechariah 2:8. I wondered, what is this? I had to look it up. And in context, basically, it says, he who touches the apple, or the word is pupil, of my eye, touches Israel. And the amazing thing is, the pupil is what we see through. And so I'm going to tell you, if you want to have proper sight, proper perspective, proper insight, you must have Israel as the centerpiece of history, the centerpiece of what is in God's heart. And if you want to bless and have right prophetic insight, you must get Israel in the center of your heart and in the center of your eye.
You know, that same passage, Zechariah 2:8, in the Living Bible goes like this: he who touches Israel is the same as someone that pokes their finger in God's eye.
That's right. Because when you touch the Jewish people, you are touching the God of history. You're touching God himself. And so we must be careful again, because we must bless and curse not. I just tell you, we must get Israel in right perspective in order to live out our lives in the right way in the end times.
Now, you actually trace spiritual darkness in the medieval period in connection with the treatment of the Jewish people.
Well, you know, absolutely. I mean, here we deal with, go back, let's say, to 327. The Church Council of Nicaea declared the benefit of Christianity, Jews could only exist in seclusion and humiliation. 14 years later, Constantine II prohibited marriage between Christians and Jews. Pope Urban II in 1095, etc. I mean, they just made decree after decree after decree that goes against Israel, against Jerusalem, and against Israel being the apple of God's eye. And when we do that, we pay a price. Darkness enters in, and light goes out.
quoting from your book again, in 1182, France expelled Jewish people. 1421, Austria expelled them. 1439, Jewish people were expelled from Poland.
Yes.
1492, expelled from Sicily. 1495, expelled from Lithuania. 1496, expelled from Portugal. 1499, expelled from Nuremberg. Europe was closed to Jewish people by the time the Spanish Inquisition began in 1480. That means that Spain's Jewish refugees literally had no place to go. I you know something, Jim?
Yes.
It is such a miracle that anyone exists today who says, my ancestry is Jewish.
Or that they want to claim that they are. I mean, it's amazing. It is a modern-day miracle, but it's a miracle of God's faithfulness. That's what it is. And that's what you and I can bank on in our lives. And that's what we've got to believe right now. Faithful is he who calls us, who will also bring it to pass. And just keep your eye on Israel, because God will be faithful to his word.
Now, the heart of your book is so that Hitler's Germany doesn't occur again. And you call it the Mordecai call. What is that?
Well, you know, I believe that Mordecai, that he was used to prepare Hadassah, who became Esther, for her appointment before the throne of the king. And there was the decree that went out for the annihilation of the entire Jewish people, the entire Jewish race.
Is that going to happen again? Is there going to be this demonic intervention again to try to kill all the Jewish people?
I believe it's already starting. I don't like being one of the gloom and doom prophets, but I tell you, it's already beginning. It's looming right at our door. Militant Islam is arising. Could become a wedding between strong totalitarian governments fueled in with this unholy jihad philosophy and other aspects as well. I have a city in Sacramento, California, just a couple of years ago. Three synagogues in Sacramento, California were burned to the ground. This isn't just something going on in Russia. It's happening in France. It's happening in California. It's happening under our nose right now. We need to wake up and smell the coffee.
Jim, why should people read your book, Exodus Cry?
You know, to wake up, to learn from the past so as not to repeat the mistakes of the past, and to then respond appropriately. We read the quote that if you know, we don't study history, we're doomed to repeat it. That's one of my great concerns. Let's learn from the mistakes of the past so as we do not repeat them. Let's also learn from some of the bad issues of church history. Let us get our garments washed clean. And I believe that the Lord, even though difficult times are upon us and are even coming, the Lord wants there to be a people that will arise. The prophets say it this way, that the Gentiles will carry the Jewish people upon their shoulders.
I urge you to write for the book Exodus Cry, $14. That's postage paid. If you would like to receive a complimentary copy of our bi-monthly teaching newsletter, materials catalog, or information about becoming Mishpucha, write to me, Sid Roth, Post Office Box 1918, Brunswick, Georgia, 31521. Or call our order-only line, 1-800-548-1918. To place a credit card order, call anytime the same number, 1-800-548-1918. For all other calls, the number is 912-265-2500. That's 912-265-2500. For a cassette tape of this week's broadcast, send $5 to Sid Roth, Post Office Box 1918, Brunswick, Georgia, 31521. To see our television show, It's Supernatural, and to listen to our past radio programs, look us up on the web at www.supernatural.com. www.sidroth.org. That's www.sidroth.org.